Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming. It is, thank you. You know, I never say it enough times. You have the opportunity to be anywhere in New York doing, God, a dozen different things at this time, if not more. Gurdjieff is one of the master teachers, and he says this, and it's so true, and has everything to do with how I feel every time I walk in and see you here. He says that it takes a superhuman power. And unlike me, he's not an exaggerator. He was a serious teacher. He says it takes a superhuman power to rise up even one inch above the mass consciousness, the norm of doing what everybody else does. It takes a superhuman effort to do that. So for you to walk into this room, for you to open a book that's going to change the way you think and then change the way you live, for you to make any effort at all isn't just like, oh, well, I did that. You really need to get into the fact of congratulating yourself that this is the unusual behavior. This takes a superhuman effort for you to do things differently than the way the entire world, oftentimes asleep, does it or tells you how you should do it. So that one's for you. That's on you. Well done. Well done, you guys. Truly, truly. There is, I'll start here. This is from verse 30 in the Tao Te Ching. It says, those who rule in accordance with the Tao, or the way of life, do not use force against the world, for that which is forced is likely to return. And further down it says, things that gain a place by force will flourish for a while, but then they fade away. For they are not in keeping with the Tao. Whatever is not in keeping with the Tao will come to an early end, right? And forcing, what we understand, forcing is a very different word than power, because the Tao is not about, oh, just going with the flow of life, being a leaf on a stream. It is about having the energy that you have, the power that you truly have by connecting to who you truly are, the depth of you, and stepping out into the world and acting from that place of power, which is a very different thing than force. Force is the place in us that is not connected deeply, that is not rooted into something real, who we are. And we spent the first 5 or 6 weeks talking about deep roots, putting down your deep roots and connecting to the truth of who you are. Because from that place, all your energy is powerful. Your presence can be felt before you walk into a room and open your mouth. It is a presence you connect to and a presence you are carrying. Force, you're not connected to anything. Force, you're all worried about not getting what you want and think you should have or losing something that you have that you don't want to lose. Force comes from that place of fearfulness, living in this world lightly, not knowing which way to go. And force is another word for manipulation. We try and manipulate the people and the things around us to give us what we want because we don't really believe we deserve them, right? So we're always kind of on our toes, nervous and anxious. Will it happen? Won't it? And force and power are two words that sound alike and they have nothing, nothing to do with one another, nothing. When I went out looking for an apartment in New York, which I think is comparable to climbing, you know, to Machu Picchu, and people outside of New York don't understand that, but looking for space is like I mean, talk about the world of miraculous. You need the Course in Miracles under your arms when you walk into the realtor, because their answer is, yeah, we got a great space for you for $8,000, right? And it's a whole 412 square feet over a Chinese restaurant. And I'm sure if you fumigate it, the smell won't be too bad at all. I cannot tell you how many places I looked at in New York where I was told, and probably you too, it just needs a little sprucing up, right? And you're walking in and the floors are, you know, they're sideways. So you know your furniture, all of it is going to be on one side. That's not sprucing up. You have to marry a contractor and redo the entire floor. Sprucing up is flowers and some pretty window treatments. So this journey took month after month after month. And you know what begins to happen, whether you're looking for an apartment or a man or a job, you start with all the great intentions because you have on your sheet of paper your little vision of what you want. I want a nice place, or I want a nice guy, or I want a nice job, whatever it is. And you start with a nice full sheet of paper and you write down all your wishes and you think, this is great. By month two, after you've looked at lemon after lemon or date after date, and I don't know if it's on eHarmony or if it's just meeting people in the bars or if it is the jobs on Craigslist, you look at your list and you think, you know, I think I better shorten this list. Maybe if it's a place that has mice, that'll be okay. I can deal with that. You know, okay, so if he has, you know, hair up and down his back but none on his head, that's okay, you know? You know, so we start crossing off things on our list, and what begins to happen, because we might not be rooted, and here's the line from the Tao Te Ching, and I'll repeat it again, and if you've heard it before, forgive me, because I repeat it to myself all the time. When I find myself in moments that I want to shorten my list, because I think what I want is too big for this world. So let me shrink my desires. Let me shrink my dreams to fit into a world that can't possibly give me what I want. I need to do what the Tao says and be like an oak tree with deep roots. I need to put the roots down. Deep roots and a thick trunk, so that I am solidly grounded here in the present moment, in my body, fully present. And a lot of, there, not a lot, there are some teachings that will tell you, well, your body isn't really real, so go ahead and transcend your body. Because, you know, you're a spiritual being living a human experience, but this human experience is really just only a dream. So it's really not that important. What's important is your connection. I got to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I actually need my body. You know, like every day. I mean, let's be honest. You don't take a bowel movement for 4 days, you're freaking out. True or false? Right? You don't transcend that shit. Right? I will take anybody on that, unless you allow yourself to fully inhabit your body, you cannot fully inhabit your life, and you cannot fully inhabit your power. It's not possible. Because the way in which we feel our intuition is not something that comes to us from the sky and is emitted through some kind of telepathic thing that comes to us. Intuition comes through us. It comes through this body as a feeling, a sensation, a voice, goosebumps, whatever you want to call it. It comes through you and in your rootedness. Which is why week after week we talk about bringing yourself to the present moment. In your rootedness, you know the next right move. If you don't know the next right move, well, then when a door closes, you're just going to sit down and bang on it till it opens, right? It's like a Celebrity Apprentice, man. I don't know who ever sees that show. And of course, I told you to turn off your TV, so whoever raises their hand is like so not doing the exercise. But I already passed the test, so I can watch as much TV as I want. We don't actually have a TV, but occasionally we go on the internet to watch something you just gotta watch. And what's so interesting are the people who are trying to manipulate what is going on around them and will not take responsibility for what they did or didn't do. You can see the ones who have, you can see the ones who haven't. And the ones who haven't flail. And the ones who have act. Now, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm saying one's more effective than the other. And if you're looking for anything in your life, if you're wanting to increase anything in your life, then be effective. Go out into your life with your power, empowered. And you can't do that without your body. It's not possible. No matter how many books you read up here in your head, in the attic, unless you come downstairs into your body, you can't digest all that information. It's just great facts and information that doesn't turn into wisdom. Here in this body, you must plant yourself. That's why we say stop for 3 seconds and take a breath into your body. Put your hand on your chest and state a simple statement that seems so silly. I am here now. Deep roots doesn't come from reading another book. It comes from planting yourself in this body so the book you read can be assimilated, digested into wisdom, into your next action. So if intuition comes through us, then it tells us that my list is sound, that the things that I feel I deserve, the things that I feel I need, the person I feel that I want to love me, who I want to love back, can truly and is truly mine. And I don't take a pair of scissors to the list until I cut the list down into practically nothing. Okay, I'll just be happy with anything I get. We don't do that. We stand in the truth of what we know about who we are and about what we know about what we need. What our soul needs to make us happy. On my list was, I need light. So when they showed me the apartment that said, well, this place doesn't really have a really great view. So I thought, okay, I don't need a great view. I don't need a great, you know, view of the water. And they took me into a place where they had one window in this dark apartment, this little Dracula apartment. You walk in and there's one window. And when you pull up the shade, there's a wall, right? Yeah, not a great view, yes, but they could have gone a little further and said, not any view. There's no view. There was hardly any room. You could see the brick and the mortar. That was a view of the brick and mortar as close as I've ever seen, brick and mortar. So after each and every time that I went looking for my apartment, or you go looking for your guy, or you go looking for your girl, and you feel like I must be asking for too much, because there's nothing and nobody out there that comes close to what I'm asking for. What you do instead of going home with the scissors and begin to cut your list down, or go out in the world and begin manipulating, make that boss hire you. Make that girl see that you're the guy for her. Make that guy see that you're the girl for him. And that's what we do. We begin to force ourselves into a place where it's clear we don't belong, and here's what's worse, where we're not wanted. Because let's not pretend we don't know when the fit isn't right. And let us not pretend that when the door closes, we don't know that that rejection means no, no. And so what we do in forcing is we take this marvelous energy, we stand by the door, we keep knocking on the door, and we say, I'm going to make you, Jennifer Hudson, remember that scene? How fabulous, I'm going to make you love me, I'm going to make you love. Well, that's what Al-Anon is for, but I'm going to make you love you. It didn't work for her, and it doesn't work for us any better than it worked for her. It doesn't work. We can't make, because make is a word of force. And look what the Tao says. The Tao says, things that gain a place by force will flourish for a time. And this is where we get confused. Will flourish for a time. Things will go well for a while if you push your way into a situation that doesn't open to you, that doesn't fit for you, or into a relationship with somebody that doesn't really want you, that we somehow feel we're going to make them want us, or even a city that we live in that we feel we're going to make this city be what I want it to be. There are many people living in New York now whose souls are telling them, you know what, you came here, you got everything you needed to get, and it's actually time for you to move on. This ain't your city. The city is not bringing out the best in you, but we keep wanting to make it. So look what it says. It says it will flourish for a time. For a little while, things will be okay. Things will look like they're happening, but, then they fade away. Here's why. They are not in keeping with the Tao, the flow of life. They are not in keeping with the natural order of things. And the natural order of things is deep roots and a thick trunk, meaning using your power to know your right and proper place. They're not in keeping with the Tao. And whatever's not in keeping with the Tao will come to an early end. That means you might have a short affair with this person, but it's not going to last. You might have a short, fiery job with this boss, but it's not going to last. You might be in somebody's place as their roommate for a while to have a place to stay, but it's not going to last. It's not going to last because we're coming from the wrong place in ourselves. Force does not know what the next right move is. When we are in that place, we don't know what the next right move is. So the first thing we see, we say, I'll take that. First thing that looks available, I'll take that. And we go towards that. So in my search for the apartment, I refused to cut down. I needed light. I'm a person who needs light. I needed privacy. I'm that type of a person. I need beauty. Even if it's four walls, I needed something that was beautifully done, which I know you're looking on Avenue A and Avenue B, and this is when I was looking. This is not like now when everything's like so groovy there. I can't afford to live there. This was Avenue A and B and C when it was Avenue A and B and C, right? Okay, in its original funkiness. And I need beauty because my soul responds to beautiful things. I don't need wild luxury. I need one beautiful piece. I need that. So when I went in and I did not stop, I looked all over the city, all over the city. And finally, a realtor took me into an apartment, and it was on Park Avenue South and 23rd, and took me into an apartment, a small one-bedroom, which I actually thought was large, but when I told the square footage to my family, they were like, you can live in such a little place? And I'm thinking, God, I thought it was spacious until then, and we do. To me, it felt marvelous because not only was it a one-bedroom apartment, it was a one-bedroom apartment where I could put my office in the bedroom, and I could pull a pull-out bed in my living room and begin my business as a brand new minister. I'm going all the way back. That's how far back it was. And I could have a place to honor what I did. It was more important to me to have an office than it was to have anything in the world. And the last thing I couldn't live without was an outdoor space. Had to have it. So I went in, I walked in, and I saw, and when I say an outdoor space, I mean, I was thinking, and I wrote on my list, a small outdoor space, because I thought to ask for an outdoor space already was, you know, grand. But I would never have imagined a large one. And I walked in, and there was a beautiful, clean, modern, right on the corner next to, it was in a place where there were so many schools, which was something that was also on my list, where people are learning, people are growing, there's a fabulous energy. And I walked in and I felt it, and I looked out the double sliding doors, imagine double sliding doors, into a terrace that wasn't enough just to put my behind in a little vanity chair and drink my little tea on a teeny little, you know, China doll set and say, oh, I have an outdoor space. It was an outdoor terrace. It was amazing. 25 by 15, sitting on the roof of the building underneath. It was a situation. So much so that on the walls outside of the brick were were art. People would come and do art or old art from the 30s. It was just fabulous. And I looked at her and I said, okay, this is the feeling that I have been waiting for. This is the feeling I have been waiting for. Frog was in his garden. And Toad came walking by. What a fine garden you have, Frog, he said. Yes, said Frog. It is very nice, but it was hard work. Well, I wish I had a garden, said Toad. Well, here are some flower seeds. Plant them in the garden, said Frog, and soon you'll have a garden. Well, how soon? Asked Toad. Well, quite soon, said Frog. So Toad ran home. He ran home. He planted the flower seeds and then said to them, now, seeds, start growing. Toad walked up and down a few times looking at the seeds, waiting for something to happen. The seeds did not start to grow, so Toad put his head closer to the ground, thinking they didn't hear, and said, now, seeds, start growing. And Toad looked at the ground again, and the seeds did not start to grow, and Toad put his head very close to the ground and shouted, now, seeds, start growing. So I'm looking at my perfect apartment that I knew was mine. This was my apartment. I not only knew it, I felt it. And I am a person who can feel these things. When you are planted deeply in your body in the moment, you feel the rightness of your next move. You feel the rightness of picking up the phone and making a call at a moment, and the wrongness of picking up the phone and not making a call in the moment. You feel, keep in mind, when the Old Testament said, Spirit will guide your feet and tell your feet when to take a step to the right and when to take a step to the left. You got to understand that is exactly what intuition is all about, and everybody has intuition. It's not a matter of, I wish I was a person who had it. We all are wired for it. It's our divine compass. It's in there. But we have to be grounded in the present moment. That's why we take a breath. That's why we bring ourselves back to the moment. Literally, I am here now is so marvelous. Or take a dozen, and you guys know this so well, take a dozen Post-it notes, put it in your house everywhere, and put the word breathe on it. You know this too. Breathe, breathe. And if you haven't done it in a long time, do it again. Breathe. And every time you see the note, and put it where you're going to see it. Put it in front of your toilet. Put it in front of your fridge. Put it on your mirror when you're brushing your teeth or brushing your hair. Put it where you know you're going to see it. The word breathe. And every time you see one of the Post-it notes, you stop for 1 second. The Course in Miracles would call that a holy instant. And what makes the instant holy is what you do with that instant. You're coming home. You're taking one instant, one moment, and coming home. Why? Because home is where the best you resides. Home is where you are in your power. Home is where you are connected. Home is where you can hear the call of life. Home is where your feet are on the ground and your mind and your body are in the same place doing the same thing. Home is where you're in your power. We're in our force when we're not here because we're in our head because we're looking for that place or that thing or that guy or that money or that outfit or whatever it is, and we don't think it's coming. And God, if it doesn't come, what does that mean? Mark Nepo is a man who talked about, he said, when I got my diagnosis of cancer, he's a writer, an author, and a speaker. He said, when I got my diagnosis of cancer, I absolutely just was in fear of what that was going to bring. Then when I was in the treatment for it, I was absolutely in fear of the next worst treatment. Then when I was in the worst treatment, I was absolutely in fear of getting over cancer, because then when I was over cancer, I was absolutely afraid, right, or going to the place where he was going to get it again. He said, at no point in my illness could I just be where I was, because I was always afraid of the next step that I was going to be taking, and I wasn't even there. That's force. That's disconnection. That's your head's in one place, but your feet are over here. But your head's over here. on the other side of the room, and you are absolutely powerless to impact change in any way. And I looked at her and I said, done, mine. This is so what I saw. This is so what I was waiting for. And she said, well, I just wanted to let you know, I showed you this place to just show you what was possible, but I'm so sorry, this place is already rented. Oh. Right? You know, talk about a cock tease. I was so angry. It's like, what is up with that? That's twisted. You showed it to me after showing me all these horrible places only to say, can't have it. Somebody else does. I bet they'll be happy, don't you? So I left and I knew. Forcing means you take the situation and you start arguing right there. You just go at it. You start reacting right there. You just, you have your meltdown right there. You take your list and you cut it into little shards and say, who am I to think I could live this way? Who am I to ask for a guy to love me? Who am I to ask for a job with a boss that respects me? Who am I to ask for anything? And we just at that point melt ourselves down into a little pile of wax and say, this shit doesn't work. Right? What made me think Course in Miracles? What made me think this works for me? New thought. What made me think praying, desiring, knowing my source? And here's the thing. When you have deep roots, you are able to do what the Buddhists call, and I love this phrase, hold your seat. That's why in the morning when you wake up, and if you have a morning practice, for those of you who don't have a morning practice, please open your mind to the possibility of even a 15-minute morning practice. We call it a 5-5-5. Why? Because that's when you plant your roots. And what does she mean, hold your seat? It means you sit for 5 minutes. And in that sitting, you think, well, you know, nothing spectacular happened. But later in the day, 5 days later, 5 hours later, maybe even 5 weeks later, when a moment like this happens, you're able to hold your seat. And I said, okay. And then I went out and met my friends for brunch right down the street, and I told them what had happened when we were waiting for the table. And the moment the table became available, I said to them, you know what? I don't think I can stay. I actually don't think I can stay because I got to go back to that place. I got to go back to that building. Because the realtor had told me, the young girl had told me, she was a lovely Spanish girl, like 20 years old. She said, the realtor, the real realtor, the managing, what do they call that? The managing agent, thank you, would be in on Monday morning. I could see her then. Well, this was Saturday, and I'm not patient to wait for 2 whole days. I couldn't stand that. And I thought, let me just go back and knock on the door and see if she's in. A lot of people work weekends. So, Toad puts his head very close to the ground and shouts, now seeds start growing. And Frog comes running up the path. What's all the noise? He asked. My seeds won't grow, said Toad. You're shouting too much, said Frog. These poor seeds are afraid to grow. Seeds are afraid to grow, asked Toad. Of course, said Frog. Leave them alone for a few days. Let the sun shine on them. Let the rain fall on them. Soon your seeds will start to grow. So I march myself right down 23rd Street. I go right back to the building. Look up on the directory for the managing agent who's not supposed to be until Monday. Knock on her door. Lo and behold, I'm buzzed in to the inner sanctum. Right? I'm buzzed in on the second floor of the building. There she was behind piles of work. And I walk in. She looks like an older version. If Xena, the girl who played Xena, the woman, the broad who played Xena, what is her name? Lucy Lawless. Yeah, what a great name. Lucy Lawless, right? She looked like Lucy Lawless would look perhaps, you know, 20 years or 25 years later. She was a big, big, beautiful woman, you know, with big submarines coming. And she was like 6 foot tall. She was a formidable woman. Now, force would have said, I walk into this room and I'm not leaving until I get this apartment. I'll trick her if I have to. I'll tell her how hard my life has been. I'll tell her about my bad childhood. Right? Celebrity Apprentice, they always go, oh, it's such a bad, hard childhood. It's like, hey, you dropped the ball, you're fired. Right? So you go in and you're going to figure out a way to make it happen. And you know the feeling. And here's what force feels like. Force does not feel like power. Power, you're connected to something greater than you, and that power moves through you, and it is an effortless energy that moves through you because it's not just yours. Force is exactly what it sounds like. It's you tightening. It's a tension like a fist in your chest. It's you squeezing. It's you making. It's you having. It's you, I better and I should. And it doesn't enlarge you. It shrinks you. It contracts you. And the problem with force, when you are contracted, the smaller you get, the less the life force can move through you because you're all closing down. You're not opening up and receiving. You're closing down and you're left to your own devices. Devices. So I walk in there and I stand about 4 feet from Barbara's desk and I take a stance, which is an interesting stance for me to have taken. And I remember this moment, obviously. Here I am 2 decades later still talking about it, perhaps because I have nothing, you know, new that has happened to me since then. But I'm standing in front of her. I don't go any further, and I decide not to say a word. See, when you are planted deeply, what you are told to do, what you feel compelled to do is sometimes so counterintuitive, we don't believe it. In our fearfulness, we have to start talking. In our fearfulness, we have to start defending. In our fearfulness, we start flailing and fluttering and swirling around. In our connectedness, deep roots, morning practice, in our deep roots, we don't have to say a word. It is the presence we are connecting to that becomes our presence that is felt. And we begin from that starting place. And I stood there, and what I said to myself, not to her, to myself was, there are no obstacles. That was my line. I didn't say it from a place I'm going to twist her arm, there are no obstacles, but there are no obstacles from the place of when you are connected to the source of life and your heart sings in the presence of something that you know belongs to you. There aren't obstacles because there can't be. And I said that to myself, there are no obstacles. And the stance I took was the stance I took when I was in boxing training. And in boxing training, not to hit people, although, God, I bet everybody has a list of those people where you'd love to put on the gloves and hit them, but it wasn't for that. It was actually simply to just have the feeling of what it was like to be in my body and hitting. And the stance is very interesting because you're not standing forward like this with your feet pointing forward, because somebody comes along if you're standing this way, even in a nice strong stance, and can push you backwards. You do not have balance here. When you turn your body 45 degrees and put your feet, and this is a stance they also have in yoga, Bikram yoga, a stance where you put your feet one behind the other on an angle, and good luck to the people listening to the talk on, you know, MP3, because, okay, I put my legs at a 45-degree angle. You're right, I should do a DVD of this one. You put your legs at a 45-degree, your feet at a 45-degree angle. It's almost as if you lead with your shoulder. When somebody comes to push you in boxing, you actually can hold your seat. You can hold this stance. You can hold your balance better, and I kind of stood that way. I held this stance knowing that I was balanced and I was strong and where I stood, and I just stood there until she spoke. You know how hard that is to do? Like, for a person like me to, you know, to just hold my tongue. I said nothing and let the presence just remind me that there are no obstacles. I stood in the silence. I trusted the silence. The Tao will say something amazing. It will say that stillness and silence will yield you more than action and talking. And we don't believe that, because when we are not connected, we think everything we say, they'll, if they hear my point of view, if they just know how I feel, and we figure we can talk people into things, and we can talk people into things, but the Tao will tell us it will come to an early end. That's the problem with manipulating. That's the problem with force. The difference is, from a place of power, when you come to an agreement, it's solid. It's locked in. Because it's coming from your deep, deep place. You know this. You know this all so well. So I stood there, and she said, well, let me tell you first what Frog and Toad said. That night, Toad looked out his window. Drat, said Toad, my seeds have not started to grow. They must be afraid of the dark. So I'll read a story to them, Toad said. Then they won't be afraid. So Toad read his long story to his seeds, and the next day Toad sang songs to his seeds, and all the next day Toad read poems to his seeds, and all the next day Toad played music to his seeds, and Toad looked at the ground. The seeds did still not start to grow. What shall I do? He cried. These must be the most frightened seeds in the entire world. And then Toad felt very tired and fell asleep. I stood there in the silence. A morning practice is an astonishing thing, because it connects you not only to you, but the depth of you, the reality of you, the truth of you, the you that you don't even know you are, beneath the appearance of you. The entirety of every philosophy, of every spiritual teaching, of every sacred book takes us to this place and says, look deeper inside of yourself, because the deeper you look, scratch the surface of you, and you're going to find the real you. The you that is connected to everything, the you that is connected to all power. And when you find that, then you're going to walk out your door in your dungarees looking like you look now, but you're going to be walking out with the presence of you opening the door before you. And here is what she said to me. I hadn't said a word, except there are no obstacles from this place. And I knew it. There are no obstacles. And she said to me, let me show you something. She said, I know why you're here, because I got a call from the girl who showed you the apartment. She said, I'm telling you what she's telling you. The apartment is rented. She goes into her bottom drawer and she pulls out the lease with a wad of cash on it, because you had to put the first and last month's rent in cash, and she already had it. So she's holding this up. She's telling me no. I am standing my ground in my body. If you aren't inhabiting your body, you are not inhabiting yourself, capital S. You are not able to inhabit yourself if you dismiss that it has got to happen in this body, that this mind has got to be connected to this body, and they've both got to be in the same place where your feet are. She's holding it up, and she says, why don't you just take a seat and we'll talk? So I take a seat in front of her desk, and she says, let me tell you about the woman. This is all her talking. I had not had to say anything. She says, the woman who bought this place, she really likes the place. And she looked at a place across the street also. The place across the street had a tiny terrace, that tiny teapot terrace I told you about, where you put your little iron thing and maybe a friend can come over, a very slim friend can come over, and you squish in the terrace and they go, oh, you have an outdoor space. And you say, I know, isn't it fabulous, right? She looked at a place that had that terrace. It was a bigger apartment with a tinier terrace, but she got this one and said, oh my God, I'll never use the terrace. I'll just put my bike out there. But I got this one because I think my mother will like it better, because her mother's moving in with her. And she looks at me and she says, bless you, I have an idea. She picks up the phone and she calls the other woman and she talks her out of the apartment she took and into the other apartment, saying that she really doesn't need a terrace this big just to put her bike, and how much more comfortable the other one bedroom will be when her mother comes. And she does that whole rigmarole, and that's why she's got the job she has. Talked her out of this apartment, talked her into the other one, hung up the phone, looked at me, God's honest truth. She took the wad of money off with the binder clip, took the lease in front of me, and ripped it into pieces and said these words, now let us start again. Let us start again. So Toad felt very tired and he fell asleep. Toad, Toad, wake up, said Frog. Look at your garden. Toad looked at his garden, and little green plants were coming up out of the ground. At last, shouted Toad, my seeds have stopped being afraid to grow. And now you have a nice garden too, said Frog. Yes, said Toad, but you were right, Frog. It was really hard work, right? So if we use our force to get what we want, it is such hard work. Having to manipulate people, having to take the round peg and squish it into the square hole, having to make somebody hear you, to make somebody give you what you want, to make something happen. It is so much work and so much thinking. You're up all night thinking about it, working it, planning on it, rehearsing it. You're in the tub with candles, having a beautiful experience, working how the conversation's gonna go, how, what they're gonna say, what you're gonna say, what they're gonna say, what you're gonna say, what they say, what you're gonna say, and it goes on, and you're not in the tub. You're not smelling the aromatherapy. You're not even there. You're not there. You are somewhere else trying to make the seeds grow. And here's the message of this path in a nutshell. The seeds are going to grow all by themselves. And we do not believe that. We do not believe that. So we believe we have to make them grow. And life is so hard. And we say, life is so hard. Making a garden, Toad said, is so hard. Making the garden started when he planted the seeds, then fell asleep and let them do their thing. Here's the difference between power and force, and it's essential. We have a talk called the 5-5-5 on the morning practice. And it's the only talk we have on the morning practice because you only need one. You only need one. One way of starting your morning so that you start your morning by sending down your roots into something deeper and greater and richer and bigger than you. That which the Kabbalion calls the all in all. You're connecting to the source of life. It doesn't make a difference what you call it. You're connecting to that which is truly great and underlies all things. Make that connection and your roots go down deep, and in doing so, you become more open and available to receive and to hear what your next right step needs to be, so that you don't react and flail and force and make it so hard. When it's actually just you, that is the hardness, not life, not the seeds, and not the growing. The morning practice then gives you a thick trunk, which means you are able to hold what comes to you. You're able to hear it, hold it, and act upon it, taking that next step. In doing so, you walk through this world with that powerful presence, knowing when to take a step to the right and when to take a step to the left, because inspiration, intuition, and guidance will give you only that next right step. When you take it, you get the next one. When you take that, you get the next one. You do not get the whole picture. You get the next right step, and you get all the power you need to take it. And when you do, you discover, look at this, the garden grew all by itself. And I got to live in a place that was absolutely the place I believe my life and my ministry began to flourish, because I was in the place that I had envisioned would be a place that a person like me would be able to be happy and joyful and grow in. It is never life that is saying no. It is just we who insist on making things happen when actually what we need to do is allow them to. And for that, we need to hold our ground. Why? For the last time, things that gain a place by force will flourish for a time, but then fade away They are not in keeping with the Tao. Whatever is not in keeping with the Tao will come to an early end. Do not use force against the world, for that which is forced is likely to return. Use the power that you have, and you will discover how doors open before you without all that work that you used to have to use to body slam them open. Enough said.